We can't trust our feelings to tell us what time it is. There's times I definitely feel like speaking when I should absolutely be silent. Welcome to session 10 of Arise and Shine's devotional. Today, we are taking a stand against both Satan and our feelings. Feelings aren't bad. God gave them to us. We're going to come back to that. But first, we're going to settle the truth about authority over our enemy, because some of us have felt certain about actually taking it. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 10. It starts in verse 17. Jesus's 70 disciples had just returned from ministering, and they said, "Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name." Notice they said "in your name." They didn't take the credit themselves. If there's ever a time we think it's about us, we're in trouble. So then next in verse 18, Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." This was a great reminder that Satan had fallen from his place of authority and that he was inferior. Jesus continues in verse 19. He says, "Look, I have given you the authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." And then Jesus ends with this, "But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So we know our authority is in Jesus' name and that Satan's authority is inferior. You know, Satan only has the power that we give him through our agreement with him, either in a false belief or something that we speak. We also know from the last verse that we are to rejoice in what Jesus has done for us eternally, right? Our names are written in heaven, because when we stay focused on what Jesus has done, we will not be tempted to become prideful in ministry when we see evil spirits obey us. So now that we know what the word says about our authority, I want to give us a picture of what it looks like. So let's pretend you got promoted at work and your boss gave you authority over others on the job. If there was some disciplinary action to take, would you go to your boss and ask him to handle it for you? No. Your boss would expect you to use the authority that he gave you to handle the problem. That's why he gave it to you. Jesus gave us this authority for a purpose, to use it. So now we're going to go to Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations." We need power through the authority of Jesus to do that. We cannot do anything of eternal value without the authority of Jesus. So take that authority in confidence. It was given to you so you can fulfill the Lord's call on your life. When we begin to use our authority and move toward God's purpose for our life, we cannot be ignorant to the fact that Satan is not going to just sit back and watch it happen. He will attack in an attempt to knock us down, and we had to be prepared to stand our ground. You know, King David was one of the greatest warriors of all time, and even he got knocked down more than once. I want to look at one particular, and this is in 2 Samuel chapters like 15 through 19. This is where we read about how David's son Absalom conspired against him by stealing the hearts of the people in Israel in an attempt to take David's throne. So David was torn between keeping his rightful place on the throne or preserving his son's life. Thankfully, Joab's military commander, Joab, knew what needed to be done, and he killed Absalom himself. But when David found out, scripture tells us that he covered his face with his hands and kept on crying. David was overcome with grief. Of course, this was his son. But Joab had preserved David's place on the throne and saved Israel from an evil king. But instead of David going out and speaking to his people to congratulate and encourage them, he was overcome with grief and continued to weep. You know, there is a time for mourning, but this was not it. David had a nation to save. He could not allow his emotions to master him. God gave us emotions. They're not bad, but they are not to be our master. Joab knew the weight of this moment and that David had to get it together. So he went to him and he rebuked him. Listen to this rebuke. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 6 through 7. He says, "You seem to love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that your commanders and troops mean nothing to you. It seems that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died, you would be pleased. Now go out, congratulate your troops, for I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a single one of them will remain here tonight. Then you will be worse off than ever before." Then listen to this next verse. It says, "So the king got up." I love that. David humbled himself and received Joab's rebuke. This is a big deal. When we're rebuked, we have to be humble enough to actually consider that we could be in the wrong. Too many times, instead of receiving a rebuke, we just write it off as being persecuted for the Lord and continue on thinking we're doing the Lord's work, when actually the Lord was using our rebuker to bring his correction. You know, I can imagine that at some point, David probably thanked Joab, probably. Can you imagine what would have happened if David hadn't received his rebuke? We all need those people in our lives that care enough to give it to us straight and tell us to get up. When we get knocked down, you guys, it's going to take intentional effort to get back up. I don't mean to just physically get up, but that our soul within us stands up and wills to not give up, and that we get our armor back on and take our place on the battlefield. You know, I'll never forget the day my mom delivered a dose of tough love. She was my Joab. You know, after my dad left, I was about 13. I experienced what depression was for the first time. My mom did everything she could for me. She let me stay home from school. She gave me pep talks in an attempt to encourage me. She brought me to a counselor. Like, none of it worked. And I remember one day in particular, I walked into my mom's sewing room. My mom was an incredible seamstress. She had a whole room full of shelves that reached the ceiling, full of fabric, like two huge desks and like multiple sewing machines. And when I went in there, like I had numerous times before, I sat at her second desk while she worked. And as I sat there, like waiting for more encouragement, she said, "Jamie, you need to pick yourself up off the floor." And it kind of caught me off guard, but it's exactly what I needed to hear. My mom probably said more than that in the conversation, but as an adult, it's all I remember. And it's all that mattered at that point. There's a time and place for people to encourage us, but there's a time when it just does not serve us well anymore. The longer we're down there, the harder it is to get up. In Ephesians 6:14, we're told to stand our ground because we can't fight lying down. Guys, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. We need time to grieve. Absolutely. There is a time for mourning. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time for everything. It lists things like there is a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to be silent and a time to speak. We can't trust our feelings to tell us what time it is. There's times I definitely feel like speaking when I should absolutely be silent. To know the times and seasons for things, we need wisdom and to be in communion with the Lord. And by that, I simply mean in the literal sense to commune with him, to talk with him, and to make him a part of our day. You know, in verse 4, it says that there is, this is Ecclesiastes 3, says there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I love that, because the best thing that we can do after we weep and mourn is to laugh and dance, especially when our feelings tell us that it's not time to. You know, last year, my family and I went through a really tough season. I think I wept and grieved every day for weeks. I knew the time had to change. And one night, we decided to push our kitchen island out of the way. And my husband and I and our four kids turned on a song that declared our joy in the Lord as we all chose to dance. which then led to laughing. But you guys, we did warfare that night. And sometimes warfare is with our sword, and sometimes we simply need to stand to our feet and praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." May we call on His grace, the power of God to make up for our lack, and allow Him to pull us to our feet. Next, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about all the weird stuff that people like to whisper about. I know, so don't miss it. If you don't have my book yet, it's on sale, 30% off on my website through the month of April. You can grab your signed copy there. Also, if you'd like to invite me to speak at your church event or women's group, you can put in a request on my website at jamieandthompson.com. Guys, thanks for being here. If this message blessed you, taught you, ministered to you, just share it. Help me to share this message. You can also like and subscribe and help me spread the word.